This is Dave Glowatz of MrRadio.org. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
We're talking today about Ben's column that appeared in the December 11th, 2008 edition of The Reader, and the column is called The Right Fight. And in this column, Ben describes a lawsuit by a group of residents in the Uptown area that tries to stop development of an area called Wilson Yards. And the reason they want to stop the development is because the city used funds from a tax increment financing district, or TIF district, in the area, and the residents maintain that the development doesn't qualify for TIF funds because it would have been developed regardless. And TIF funds are meant to be used for places that are so blighted that the area needs an economic kick through an infusion of TIF funds to spur development. Ben, in this article, you spend, I don't know, three or four paragraphs, again, explaining to the uninitiated reader what a TIF district is. And you talk about the fact that in a TIF district, the city freezes the property tax take in the district for up to 24 years and creates another account for any of that extra revenue that comes in due to higher assessments or new developments. And then it takes that money and uses it to pay for development. That money would have normally gone to paying things like schools, parks, and other taxing bodies. So this explanation seems like it's evolved for you over the years. Do you like this one more than ones you've done in the past?
Yeah, it's a great question, the evolving explanations of TIFs and how they work. I like to tie it all together. The thing about TIFs is it's not like I woke up one day and totally understood it. I mean, truly, I think it's a good word, Dave. It is kind of like an evolution for me of trying to figure this sucker out in all its many dimensions. I've gotten a little wiser about it over the years. When I get involved in writing a TIF story, there's so much basic explanation that's needed, and I have to always pick and choose how much of an explanation do I want to burden my reader with, how much do I think is necessary. In this particular case, I wanted to lay everything out because I wanted people to understand what the fundamental issues are, what it means when a TIF is created, and what it would mean if this TIF were defeated or killed or ended, and what the implications are for all the taxing bodies. So I kind of wanted to tie it all together. In other cases, I don't think it's that necessary to go into such a lengthy explanation.
One of the things that occurred to me when I read this is that this seems like such an obvious lawsuit for residents to make. If somebody reads your past articles about developments and TIF districts. One of the underlying themes, I think, is that the city is using TIF money for places that are not blighted and then arguably are not entitled to the infusion of TIF money. So if that's the case, why has it taken so long for a group of Chicago residents to bring a suit like this?
I think there's two parts. One, it's really difficult for ordinary residents to file a lawsuit. It's not an easy endeavor at all. It's a very challenging operation to put together a lawsuit unless you're overwhelmingly wealthy and you have a squadron of lawyers on call. And the second reason is that the TIF program is a very complicated one, mainly because the city is so deceitful about how it describes the TIFs. It's one in which people don't really understand how the program works, and so their natural inclination is to not even bother trying. I think that's particularly the case with the newspapers and the media. It takes so long to explain it. I mean, we just got finished talking about, you know, how do you have to explain the freaking thing, that I think a lot of reporters would just as soon not even talk about it at all. In this particular case, the fight erupted not because of the TIF program itself and how wretched it is, but because a lot of people in that area didn't like the particular development that the TIF was going to fund.
This is similar to the story we reported on a couple of weeks ago in Hyde Park, where citizens wanted to stop the development of a hotel, and so they used an end run by voting the precinct the hotel was going to be built in dry, because it just turned out to be the best tactic, even though they didn't come into it looking to object to liquor sales.
I think that if the public ever came face to face with all the inconsistencies of the TIF program, there would be a general uprising against it.
In the very end of your article, you said that one of the lawyers for the residents, Champ Davis Jr., invoked a lawsuit that he won a few years back that killed a proposed TIF district in Burr Ridge. Does that case resemble the Wilson Yards suit at all?
There's some general resemblance in that the central argument was the same, and the central argument being that the area was not blighted, did not warrant being designated as a TIF because development would happen there anyway. But two differences. One, Burr Ridge is a small suburb without the much influence and clout as the city of Chicago and its mayor, Mayor Daley. But the second difference is more to the point. And in that case, the lawyer Davis was representing a taxing body, a school district out in Burr Ridge. See, when a TIF is created, effectively what happens is that the school district or the park district, any district that taxes people, that imposes a property tax on people, is required to effectively turn over proceeds of the tax it collects to the TIF district. They can't collect the tax, a full tax, out of the TIF district.
So they're losing money.
Well, effectively, they're taxing people and then not getting to spend the money. In Burr Ridge, the school district said, we don't want to lose our access to this tax base, so we're going to sue you. So that would be the equivalent, impossible to imagine as it is, of Arne Duncan and the Board of Education telling Mayor Daley, we are going to sue you because we are tired of losing access to the taxes that you're collecting off of our backs from 160-some different TIF districts.
But it's hard to imagine any city agency in Chicago rising up against the
city powerful mayor. This gets back to something we talk about frequently, and that is collectively in Chicago, all the people in charge either are ignorant or are willfully looking the other way at what goes on around them when it comes to the mayor and his policies. If they disagree with his Olympic policies, they bite their tongue and they say nothing, or they go so far as to endorse it. If they think the TIF program is effectively a fraud, they bite their tongue and they go along with it. And the argument is, we can't beat them, so we might as well try to manipulate the system to get something out of it. And we'll just look the other way at all the waste and the inefficiency and the corruption. And ultimately, I think this is far more problematic for Chicago taxpayers and the sort of the gross violation we see with Blagojevich, which is just so outrageous that we can all feel really good about ourselves jumping up and down and saying, oh, throw him out of office, he's a bum. Everybody can feel really courageous when in fact we're just looking the other way all the time as we insidious practice.
So that sort of puts it in context with the recent arrest of the governor. Well, Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.